Good morning. I've got one announcement to make. Next Sunday, church will be starting at 10:30 instead of 10. So let your friends know that aren't here today that they don't want to be real early. They better come about 20 after 10 instead of 10 to 10. Apparently with the other church is going to be here beforehand. Welcome. It's always such a privilege for me to stand here. Look around people I've known most all my life and to talk to people about Jesus. It just thrills a person's heart. I pray the words that are spoken here this morning will be washed and cleansed by the Holy Spirit and also be given His power, a power that will reach down and touch our hearts, a power that can heal us from worries and things that weigh us down or keep us from listening to the words that He gives. I've asked Jesus to bring us a word that when we go home, that word will encourage us to give us joy that would stay with us throughout the week and also give us the joy that overflows, that we can be His voice of encouragement for all the people that we meet, especially those who are down, who need that extra pat on the back or a smile or a hug. Our call to worship this morning. Do we stand? Okay, please stand. Matthew 16, 13 through 17. Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said that to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." I want to tell a little story here. You folks, a lot of you know, I took a trip to the Holy Land in 1981. And I was given four really special blessings at Caesarea Philippi. One at Caesarea Philippi, and that's this where this announcement was made. And I'll describe Caesarea Philippi. Most every place you go in the Holy Land has great big temples different churches have put up. But at Caesarea Philippi, I think Ted would relate really well to this. There's nothing there. And it reminded me so much of walking along the North Fork of the Nooksack River. And what happens there is the Jordan River comes right out of the mountain. And Caesarea Philippi is right where it comes out of the mountain. And it's a beautiful, clear stream, reminding me so much of Maple Falls or Nooksack Falls, about the same size even. Anyway, at Caesarea Philippi, one of the leaders of the people that I was with read this scripture that I just read. And I was so touched by the Holy Spirit. "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." And the Lord told him that came from the Father. And so There was a group of about 40 of us in that bus wherever we went. But at that point in time, I needed to worship Jesus. I can't explain any of these things. It just happened. So I went off by myself and found a log to set on. And if you fish the North Fork of the Nooksack, sometimes you look for a log to set on. But I was so full of worship that as I thought on my Peter's answer, I began to cry. And the tears of joy and worship was all over me. So the call of worship today, when Jesus gives us that special touch, and I know everyone standing here knows you experienced that special touch from Jesus, but you just are filled with tears and joy. And that's my memory of Caesarea Philippi since 1981. And it will never leave me. It was just a special blessing the Lord gave to me personally. The 39 other people were just laughing and having a good time, but Spud was over by himself crying, and nobody was being blessed any more than Spud that day. Our opening hymns is Father, I Adore You.
Yeah.
Them are beautiful words. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we ask with our whole heart, would you join us this morning by your Holy Spirit? Bring us your Spirit that filled Peter to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Please give us a special day that stays with us by your power and glory. And we can sing and even shout, Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. Jesus, I adore you. Lay my life before you. And Spirit, I adore you. Lay my life before you. We need you every day, every hour, every minute. We admit, Lord Jesus, from our hearts, totally admit that without you, we can do nothing. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and in the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
to admit, I've never heard or seen that song before in my life, and amen to the words. Praise the Lord. Our scripture today, and it's a bit long, but I absolutely love the story. John 4, 3 through 26. Jesus at Samaria. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me some of this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you've had five husbands, and whom you are now with is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our father worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is," I'm going to say this again, "but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I speak to you, am he. I speak to you, am he." I titled the sermon, "I speak to you, I am he." Lord Jesus, I ask you to come and bless the words that are spoken. Help us to take home the thoughts and be your followers wherever we go. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's so easy, so human, to read what we call Bible stories and go on our merry way. Oh, how we cheat ourselves and miss the powerful voice of Jesus when we nonchalantly do our duty and read the scriptures. And I'm speaking to myself here. The wonderful back and forth between Jesus and the Samaritan woman is a good example. This happened. This is a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ as he meets with this lady. First, we know by Jesus' example, as his disciples almost scold him for even talking to her. Jesus, you know, that woman is a Samaritan. The lady herself asked him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask me for a drink of water, being I am a Samaritan?" I put a lot of, I think, more importance, and this is just maybe just me personally, but I love the red letters, Jesus' words in the scriptures. And these scriptures, these red letters that Jesus speaks to the lady are so powerful. Regarding the woman involved here, she's a sinner. I love her honesty about her husband's. She had five and was working on number six. Does Jesus turn away from her? Absolutely not. He offers her living water. He says, "The water I give you will become a fountain of water springing up into an everlasting life." I believe that anyone who truly believes and asks Jesus to give them everlasting life, he will do it. And he gives us this very special gift, this gift of living water that not only gives us life, but is his Spirit who lives with us and in us, and who speaks to us and gives us direction. In the life of the Samaritan woman, the Spirit of God in her resulted in her becoming an evangelist for Jesus Christ in her own town, Sychar. John 4:39 through 42 tells the story. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I've ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe not just because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" So what's happening here? The living water was spread throughout Sychar, and the scriptures tell us that many, many believed in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. One could ask, how can this be? This lady had only spent a short time with Jesus. She went back into her own town and told what he had said to her. You could say a movement of God happened almost instantly. But why? She hadn't spent years in church or in Bible study. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But she had no idea. She only knew that she had been introduced to the Christ, the living God. Jesus gives us his answer in verses 23 and 24. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." I would say amen to that. It's very clear in this wonderful story of the Samaritan lady that Jesus Christ is not a believer in prejudice. I believe one of Satan's strongest lies is prejudice. We as human beings all seem to have a personal prejudice, and I'm talking about myself here. We may very well not even recognize it, but I believe it's one of the sharpest tools that darkness uses to keep people from worshiping in spirit and in truth. How often do we pray, "Thy will be done," thinking that God should change other people to do His will, but we don't pray that for our own self? Think of the disciples. They were given an amazing, powerful lesson at Sychar. Jesus speaking and loving the Samaritans. And what happened? They believed in Him when, after Pentecost, when they were sent out, the Spirit of God on them, they truly changed the world for Jesus Christ. You know, there used to be in Nooksack Bible camp, and the school buses would go around in the summertime and pick the kids up when we were tiny. I don't remember how old we had to be where we couldn't go anymore. But one of the songs that stuck with me all these years that we used to sing a lot, and I have to say it didn't really mean a lot to me at the time, we used to sing at kids' Bible camp, "Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight." Oh, that believers in Jesus would forget their prejudices and worship Him in spirit and truth. I believe strongly if that act would happen in our churches, in our fellowships, with our brothers and sisters, that our world could be turned upside down 2,000 years later by the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. I believe that with my whole heart. I think prejudice has... I'm going to give an example, and this is not in the sermon. I talked to my sister a lot on the phone, and I told her I was speaking in the Christian Reformed Church in Sumas last Sunday, and then coming this today. "Wow," she said, "the old stiff neck church." Thank you guys for laughing. But you know, that's what we were taught. I went to a church when I first got saved, and the pastor had a special. He knew I had to work on Sunday mornings because I was working in the restaurant, but he had a big, what do you call the thing that holds a bit? Is it an easel? I don't know. Anyway, it had a big tablet on it like this, and he drew a big circle like this in this tablet, and right in the center was a little black dot. And I don't know how many times I heard this, but he would point at the little black dot and he'd say, "That's us. This is Christendom." And the pride that was there was, to me, was terrible. I had a hard time with it. I couldn't understand, because I'd just become a Christian. How is it possible that just because I was sitting in one pew that I was in the little black spot? And everybody else down the road in other churches were in that white spot. It just didn't ring right in my heart. I had brothers and sisters all over the world. I knew that much. I love that pastor, and I'll tell you why. What does a guy do when he's born again? He doesn't have a clue. He only knows that Jesus Christ is reality in his life. So you have a question. So where do you go? You go to the pastor. And my pastor and I became close friends. But I would go with a question. I'll give you a couple examples. I was leading a Bible study at Spuds, and we had people from all over town, and did guys and went ladies, different churches. I loved it that way. And we kept running into this guy called the Holy Ghost. And I said to the folks at the end of a Bible study one night, I'm going to find out who this Holy Ghost guy is. I didn't have a clue. So, where should I go? I go to the pastor. And I said, tell me about the Holy Spirit. And he said something like, oh, don't worry about it. He's in remission. And I said, I don't believe that. I know what happened to me. Remission? You know, over the years, I grew to love that guy because everything he said, I didn't disagree with. But at least, what did it do? What did it do? It tested me. I would go home and dig deeper about the Holy Ghost. I asked him one time, how come I never hear the Lord's Prayer in your church? I'd only heard it one time in 3 years. Because I stood up, I was asked to pray at a Sunday night service, so I stood up and said the Lord's Prayer. And you know what he told me? Oh, it's just become rote. I had to go home and look in the dictionary to see what rote means, but and again, I said, well, it isn't to me. And over the years, questions like that came, and every time I could say, I completely believe the opposite. But I know one thing for sure. I did not belong in that dot any more than anybody else. I had an experience with Jesus Christ, and I feel like that anyone, anywhere that knows Jesus doesn't have to have a special label. Only he's a Jesus follower or she's a Jesus follower. Anyway, I'm going to tell a couple stories to close today. This happened about 35 years ago. I was asked to speak to a group of kids. And I'm going to guess they were from 6 to 12 years old. And not too long ago, a friend of mine was talking to me about this time of 35 years ago. And to be very honest with you, I was really intimidated to speak to kids. So I don't know how long I knew ahead of time, but say 3 weeks. And I was on my knees praying that the Lord would give me something to say to those kids. How do I relate to kids? I'm not a kid anymore. Anyway, I prayed earnestly that the Lord would give me one soul to stand and get into Jesus' kingdom. Most of these kids were brought up in church, knew most of the Bible studies. But in the far back corner, Rob. was a little Indian boy, way in the back, sitting by himself. All the rest of the kids were together, but he was kind of over there. And I made the, when I got done talking, I made the invitation. And I looked, and over in the far corner, was a little Indian boy and stood up. He's the one I'd prayed for 3 weeks. I was blown away. The tears were rolling. The courage. Can you imagine the courage of this little boy to stand up, the only one that stood? And I mean, what more could God give me? That's exactly what I prayed for. But then something really strange began to happen. And I, to be honest with you, I was almost blinded with tears of what happened. But this fellow that I was talking to not too long, well, you guys know him, Gary Landers, because he was there that night. He said, and I don't know this, but I knew it was, something happened. At least 25 kids, one at a time, raised their hands and got up and came forward. I'm going to guess there was 40 to 50 kids there. But all I knew was the one I'd prayed for was a little Indian boy with the courage to stand up by himself and say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. And so Gary reminded me of the story, and I really didn't know the end of the story until just less than a year ago, Gary reminded me of what happened that night. The next story I want to tell is just about the opposite. I had a friend that got a bad traffic ticket and was in jail for 10 days. So I thought I'd like to go visit him. So I called Tony Stahl. Now I think there's probably a relation to Tony's here, Harold's brother. I knew him from a couple of years before. I got to know him well. He was the chaplain at Whatcom County Jail. And I said, Tony, I'd like to know how to get in to visit this guy. And so he told me. So I took a friend with me who also knew the fella to go in and visit. Now, this was the old jail that don't even exist anymore. On the outside of it was an elevator that you went up to the third floor, walked into the visiting room. And there was a guard behind glass that you talked to and told him who you wanted to talk to. So we did that. And before we had gotten in there, there was a young family, a father and four little teeny kids on chairs from Marietta, Lummi Indians. Beautiful family. And I'm going to say the kids were probably from 4 to 8. Just a guess. Anyway, the elevator door closes, and then we sat down, talked to the guard, and said, you take turns. So we knew we would be waiting for the family first. But here come a guy and his girlfriend. And this man started screaming, cursing, the worst language I'd ever heard in my life, at the guard, because he thought he should be first. He shouldn't have to wait to go in. Then he explained he was a pastor from Vancouver, Canada, coming down to see somebody that was in jail. And his language got worse and louder, screaming. I'd never witnessed anything so evil in my life as this pastor. And it continued. He even said, okay, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. So he started praying the Lord's Prayer. About halfway through, he quit and started cursing and hollering again. I can't even draw the picture how terrible it was. Now, it was terrible, and I've heard every language there is to hear, probably used half of it. But what bothered me the worst was looking over here. It was four little kids, and they were, I don't know how scared a little kid can get, but that's what they were. They were just paralyzed in fear of this man. And I said, this can't continue, to myself. One thing, the guy I took in with me was an ex-Green Beret, and I knew he was about to deck the guy, which my humanist would say, well, he had it coming. But I asked Jesus, one of them great one-line prayers, Lord, you got to give me something to say to this man. And so I walked over face to face with him. And I said, and I know this comes from Jesus, how can you talk to people about Jesus and talk the way you do? And one of the most, I would say, the most amazing, okay, I'll call it a miracle I've ever seen. What happened was, that was the last sound he made. He went over across the room, sat down on one of the chairs, and I don't even know, I can't even do what he did. He put his face down between his legs, between his knees, and never even murmured a thing. And we were there probably a half hour more, waiting to get in. Turns out the guy we went in to see was actually in the Bellingham jail, so we didn't get to see him anyway. But I believe the Lord placed me there for a reason, for those four little kids. I don't think the pastor ever knew the story that Jesus told about what you do when you do that to a little child and he brings up a millstone and you be cast into the sea. That's how evil that was. But the Lord took care of it. He gave me the word to say. And that man, when we left, which was at least a half hour later, when we found out we didn't belong where we were, and I think now we did belong where we were, we found out. Anyway, we went out. And in that time, I'm going to say 45 minutes at least, that man hadn't even hardly breathed. His head was stilled. I can't do what he was doing, get his head down between his legs like they were. But Jesus was as sick of it more than me. He seen those little two, them four little kids as I did. And he took care of it. We talk about living water. And all these years, the Lord has allowed me to see and be a part of things like that. Those things can't happen without Jesus Christ. I can only say, without him, we can do nothing. Amen. Lord, I wished I had the words to describe your power and beauty and joy. The things that you bring to us every day. Help us to realize and know that you're with us and in us. Whatever the situation is, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for today, Lord Jesus. Amen. our benediction for today. O God, let us go forth in peace with good courage, holding fast that which is good, rendering no man evil for evil, but strengthening the faint-hearted, supporting the weak, helping the afflicted, honoring all men, and loving and serving thee, O God. Amen.